Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands on to the 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
It's another chance to replicate that on the heels of trying to replicate that in the first place. Basically, they're trying to stack these games, and we know what's at stake. There's two very different outcomes that we've experienced in the last 2 weeks. So my confidence is as high as it's ever been in the guys really answering the bell for you know the type of preparation we have to have. The challenge this week is you have the international component, and is that an extra opponent for you, or is that something null and void to the equation because you've established the way that you non-negotiably want to prepare, address, and execute a football game, you know? And so we'll be very focused on making sure that everything is exclusively Commanders related, which is, you know, whatever opponent's next, you have to do that in this league or you're going to get humbled.
As Dolphin head coach Mike McDaniel saying something about being in Spain. Donna, I gotta tell you, Dan's funny. Like, he sounds cooler when you play that Michael Jackson in the background there. He sounds a lot cooler. I usually just play like way the NFL cooler films music. That was interesting about being up there in Spain. If you thought that was interesting, Dan, do we have the other one here? This is Omar, we were talking about this yesterday, the video of him or the picture of him taunting Bills fans in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
The elbow room.
So Omar, I was able to get to coach yesterday to ask him about this. Here's how that went down.
Know what your after the game agenda is. But I know AI is also getting pretty good, but there is a picture of you strolling down the elbow room, I guess, near A1A. Looks like your car, looks like you, looks like your watch. Is that AI or is that real?
Well, you know, that's why I like the good old days, you know, the throwbacks of yore where you could trust, you know, the internet and the images, because, you know, that is pretty detailed. That, you know, I do live in that area, but I mean, AI, right?
So that doesn't answer the question.
Well, I mean,
are you confirming or denying?
I mean, I live in that area. AI is real. That's what I got for you.
Okay. One of the things that stood out to me about the game was
no, for the record, I did not answer it. That's the. That's the punchline of the humor.
I
love how that other reporter just got right back. Like, one of the things that stood out about the game, like, just trying to get back to the football part of it. That was a good response, though.
Here's the thing about Mike McDaniel, Dono, and he's got a unique personality. I'm trying to say this in like the nice. I by the way, if you listen to the show, you know this. I do like Mike McDaniel. I happen to be a fan. I'm not a fan of the way his team plays on, you know, most occasions. But I do personally, I do like him. With that being said, his act with the jewelry and the pants and the shoes and the taunting Bills fans and all that good stuff, that act when that team was winning was as cool as you could be, man. Remember they did that piece on him on ESPN. Yeah. He was on top of the world. Yeah. And when you're losing, things start people are able to pile on pretty good. And unfortunately, that's where it's at with Mike right now. Now, with all that being said, I do like it. I don't think he survives this offseason, right? Like, I do think I'm with Omar from what he said yesterday. I've been on this for a while. I do think the Dolphins need to make very significant changes over there and need a reset of the culture. And by reset of the culture, I mean, Dono, I'm tired of hearing about the culture. I'm tired of hearing about leadership. And, he, you know, he even did it after the game. And he was talking about the leadership council stepped up or whatever, you know, he was saying after the game. I just wish one of these days we could show Joe's face. Maybe Jamie can do this while I'm playing those sound bites. We come on usually after Jamie puts up a graphic of Mike McDaniel on the screen or whatever. And Joe is just like, It kills him to keep hearing about leadership councils and all this other nonsense that goes on over there. And it's like, yeah, we need a little bit of a change. Okay. I think Mike will be a very successful coordinator somewhere else if that's what he chooses to do. I also think he will be very well financially compensated when he leaves, as most coaches seem to be. But this whole rebuild, experiment, whatever they have done here, Dono, it just hasn't worked, right? And I do think the Dolphins need to rip the Band-Aid off this offseason and stop patching things up. Patching things up is just not the way to keep going anymore.
But has Stephen Ross figured that out is my question. And maybe, I mean, you start like you had a couple of player personnel scouts that have been with the organization for over 30 years that were just fired at the end of the weekend. Chris Greer, of course, has already been fired. But, you know, some of the things we keep hearing behind the scenes, though, is Mr. Ross still really likes McDaniel and Steve still likes Tua and that he likes, you know, the relationship that they have together. And maybe you're stuck with Tua for at least another year because of the contract. Hey, I don't want this to happen. Believe me, I'm with you, Hollywood. I'd like to start things fresh with a new coach, a new GM, and a new quarterback. But I wouldn't rule it out that Mr. Ross wants to go at least one more year with Tua because of the contract and maybe feels Mike McDaniel is the guy who meshes best with Tua and the offense meshes best for Tua.
Yeah.
So unless the public outcry is just too big, I think we might have that situation another year.
I'm with you. There's absolutely a scenario where they patch this thing up. I mean, no question about it. I don't want to, you know, discount that. There's more than a scenario where they patch this thing up. And I also agree with the fact, and I thought this last year, that Stephen Ross is he's no spring chicken. Right? Would that be the phrase to use there? He may not want to go through another, you know, let's draft a quarterback. Let's, you know, new GM, new coach. Let's reset this thing and try to rebuild it. Look how long it took to get to where we're at. You know, it's not like an overnight thing. Well, sometimes it is if you hit on the right quarterback. But it's not usually an overnight thing, right?
Yeah.
So he may say that, you know, and also, Dono, if you are going to draft a first-round quarterback, you know, Mike's not the worst person in the world to get, you know, his hands on that quarterback. Like, I do think Mike did a tremendous job with Tua and the unbelievable limitations that he has to work with when dealing with Tua. Just a couple of the comments here. Terry, it's pure torture having to listen to he called him Mick Capri Pants. I like that.
I didn't think it was that bad today. Like, I've heard way worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, they won, Dono.
You're right about that, because I did a couple of, and, you know, Dan Day is usually the Game Day Uncensored post-game host, and he does an incredible job, and I filled in for him a couple times, and those were after losses. Like, I had to do the post-game show after the Colts loss, which was like the apocalypse for the Dolphins. It was terrible. And we played Mike McDaniel, and I just had to cut it off after 5 minutes because all the texters were, you know, basically on the edge of a ledge somewhere. And they're like, please shut this off. So I had to shut it off.
Yeah, I just realized we have both of our post-game hosts here, and you guys have had a rough month. You guys have had, especially Dan Day. You've had a couple of losses to deal with, too. I hope the fans on the post-game shows are being nicer than they were when I was hosting the post-game shows, and they got very vicious, very, very vicious.
In some ways, it's gotten worse, and, you know, talking to the Hurricanes post-game shows, because, like, the expectations have gone up to the point where the expectations go up, and then you lose to SMU, and, people were, the usual thing. The commenters are firing everybody, and they're cutting everybody.
Yeah, sure.
That's what we did. I get it. You know,
I'm pretty sure if I recall, I did that post game show after they lost to FIU. Was it at the baseball stadium?
Yeah, that was probably the low point, right?
that wasn't a fun morning. But now I do pregame where everything's good, man. You can't lose the pregame.
No,
so you can't. It's all good in the pregame. that's my word of advice to everyone. Do the pregame show. It's a lot easier to sell the hope at the pre. Then the post. All right, we got to take a pause. We got the 7 o'clock hour is coming up. Joe is going to stop by with us. We'll see how things are going in Spain with Joe, and then Brian Baldinger from our Odyssey NFL Insider NFL Network. He is going to join us as well. Find out from Baldy what he saw in that Buffalo game, and can the Dolphins keep it going? Do the Dolphins want to keep it going? I know the team does. Do the fans want to keep it going? I guess would be the better question we'll discuss in the 7 o'clock hour next on QAM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. Tickle Leroy's Fancy coming up later this hour. Got a tweet here from Matt who says, A-Rod, Nomar, Jeter, Gonzo. Thank you, Tobin. You're welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Tobin. Thank you.
No one's taking anything away from those guys. Just, you know, let's not forget. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying. Dolphins getting set for the Commanders this week. 9:30 is your kickoff from Madrid, as the Dolphins will look to string a couple of wins together here. Can we do this for the first time this season? Put a little run ski together.
Yeah.
Dolphins.
I mean, a Dolphins run at this point would be 2.
That's right. And I was saying this before you got here today, Leroy. Like, we were talking about the game. I'm like, I don't really have a feel, because I want to believe.
They've been so inconsistent to think they're going to build on anything at this point. After what we've seen this year, wouldn't be realistic. But if they do, then maybe we'll reconsider. That's about it.
That would help. If I could see consistency, it would be a big step for the season. I think there's reason for it. You know, I think there's reasons you could be like, oh, you know what, the defense is starting to come together. You know, they're finding their footing without Tyreek Hill now. Finally, you know, Jalen Waddle's been playing good. Devon Achane's having an all-world season, but I got to see it consistently. And that's I mean, consistency's probably been one of their biggest issues. Schmitha says, Dolphins playing their way from the second overall pick to the 14th pick.
Okay, now, let me ask a question. One of the things that bothers me about this, supposedly what fans want people to tank, right? What are you tanking for? The Dolphins have had top 5 picks before. And in all the top 5 picks that they've had that I can think of, who moved the needle the most? None of them have been that long-term Dolphin that everybody thinks you should get with a top 5 pick. And I would say, who do you think is going to be available this year?
Well, I think
because the quarterback class was supposed to be strong until it wasn't.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think the thing that people would look to it and be like, well, the same guy's not picking anymore. He's been doing the draft for the last decade and now he's gone. So you'll have somebody new. Well, and right. I don't know if that guy's any good. I know that Champ Kelly today was, you know, apparently he was literally pounding on the table about how he's going to make his mark and use this opportunity to keep the job. Look, best of luck to him. I'll tell you one thing I like about him. Doesn't wear a hat with his suit. That's a start.
Well, the other thing is that there's really no moves to be made at this juncture. And the funny thing about it is that when it's time to make moves, depending on what they do with Mike McDaniel, they might very well get a new GM also.
They might get a new GM. I think that
I don't think they will though. So here, if he's only been with the organization for 6 months.
Yep.
If they retain him and he becomes the full-time GM, is that someone new because he hasn't been with the organization as long as everybody else has that has gotten that job?
It's somebody new, but it's not. I don't know if it's like. I mean, his previous experience is mostly the Raiders. I don't think it's like one of those things where you look at a guy and be like, "Wow, he's coming from a highly touted organization." It's not to say he can't do the job, but I'm just letting you know right. It's not exactly this hire that everybody I think is going to be like doing backflips over. But who
in order to do what you're saying, you would have to go get assistant GM or player personnel guy and make him a GM from a team that has had success.
Yes.
That doesn't necessarily mean he's more qualified. It just means that he came from a place that had success.
Yeah, but that's kind of how it goes. Like, you usually like to see the guys who come from other organizations with success and see if they go. Like, it doesn't always work. Joe Shane from the Bills, it has not worked in New York with him. You know, he's right. But it doesn't, you know, that's typically the way it's going to go is if you run a good organization, people are going to try and poach you, you know, like right. that is how it usually goes. So it has nothing to say that Champ Kelly can't be the GM or that he's not going to be good. I just don't think that people know. And I think that the idea from the fan base is like, if this ends in 6-7 wins, Mike McDaniel doesn't deserve to keep his job. And this idea that you're going to try and again massage some things and maneuver some things to try and make this work when all the signs have been here that this doesn't work. All the signs have been there. This isn't going to work.
So are you against, because Tua's going to be here another year?
Maybe.
Or they're not going to eat that money.
We don't know that. So, like, yeah. I think if the season – let's say that if they go out and lose this week and the season goes off the rails, I you can't say that everything's not on the table, that they wouldn't eat the money.
Very unlikely.
Okay.
That under any circumstance they eat the money. But it brings me to my question. If you know Tua's going to be here another year, then what – would you think if they said, well, we're going to keep Mike here and get rid of them both at the same time?
I mean, I would get it, but it would kind of feel like you're going into a wasted lame duck season. You know?
I mean, but both of them are.
Yeah, but
if you bring in another coach and you have Tua, like you might as well keep – the guy who's been working with Tua.
Yeah, unless the guy can get his team pulling in the same direction or have a little bit more consistency than Mike does. Mike's a little squirrely.
Right. Right. So, and I've noted that the issues that I've had or whatever. But I also believe, look, I think they're gonna keep Tua for another year. Right? I think
we gotta have the year play out. We that's one of those things where like it'd be silly for us to sit here at 3-7, Leroy, and they end the year 3-13 and think they're bringing Tua back, because they won't.
Okay.
It just if you do bring Tua back and you had that bad a year, 5 wins, you know, I'm talking a real stinker. Mm-hmm. Kiss all your fans coming goodbye. Like it's you know, everyone's.
But the option, and here's a legitimate option. You could get rid of Tua, you could get rid of Mike, but you're going to be a lot worse next year because you're not going to have any resources to get any players. So just imagine this same team with a backup quarterback, a new coach, and no money.
You're going to go into some bad years. Like I think that's inevitable. But we were talking about this a little bit before, like, I think the thing that you're looking at with the Jets is they kind of recognize what the Patriots did a couple of years ago, where they're like, well, we're sunk. We do need to revamp. And it took them 3 years, and now they are on top of the division with nine wins.
But they never had to eat a $50 million
contract. because their first quarterback they picked was a bust. That's why.
Right.
Like it's
no, but they still had to go
in the toilet with bad QB play.
The only difference between that situation and this situation is Mac Jones never got to his second contract.
Yeah, but the thing is, bad is bad. Like, I get what you're saying with the contract, but like the whole point is, if you're going to take a step back and revamp your team, you're going to do that with a bad contract or without a bad contract. You can make your team realize it's got to take a step back to get your team back going forward.
If you're paying for it anyway, if you don't find an alternative to that position, then aren't you kind of shooting yourself in the foot by saying no? That when you have no other option?
It's going to depend on the rest. I really think it depends on how the rest of the season goes. I really do. Like, I don't think it's a fair question to ask right now, because if you're telling me, yeah, like,
well, you're making the assumption that they're definitely going to get rid of him, and they should.
That's not what I did. What I said, you're making the assumption is you said flatly Tua's coming back next year.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, we got to wait and see. I don't know. So you're the one making the assumption, not me.
I am because of his contract.
Okay, but we've seen contracts get eaten.
You've seen it once.
We've seen it be eaten. I did not say anything non-factual.
All right. No, like, I just think for people, let's be realistic about this. If you have no other option and you're paying for that money anyway, you're paying that $50 million anyway, then play him. So you would want to get rid of Tua, eat the $50 million, and not have a quarterback.
It depends. Like, if his year continues this badly, yeah, probably, because he's been terrible.
But I understand that.
Why would you want to play a bad quarterback?
He's having a bad year.
Thank you. You literally just, okay. Well, whatever. Fine. Do you want to put your katanas away? You literally said the same thing as me.
No, I get it. He's having a bad year. So my point is this: he's having a bad year. Is there a better option out there than Tua next year?
I don't know.
When he's just having a bad year.
I don't know. I don't know what the options are yet.
Right, but you're making determinations or suggestions before you.
No, but you are, because you're saying for sure bring him back.
Yes, because of the $50 million. That's not a good reason. Okay.
Take a break. We'll tickle Leroy's fancy next.
It's 7 a.m. on Sunday. NHL last night, the Florida Panthers played the Washington Capitals, won 6-3. Brad Marchand was the primary assist to get his 1,000th career point. In the NBA and the hardwood, the Heat did not play last night, but they play Friday night at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks for some NBA Cup action. Pre-game starts at 6:30. College football, Miami Hurricanes football plays Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Countdown to kickoff begins at 11:30 a.m. In the MLB, Aaron Judge named AL MVP last night, and Shohei Ohtani named NL MVP last night. Those are your headlines. I'm Trevor Harris. The Joe Rose Show starts now.
The fans to their feet here at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. The final seconds will tick away. The Panthers start the homestand with a victory here over the Washington. The final score, a milestone night here tonight in Sunrise as Brad Marchand reaches 1,000 points with a couple of assists. Daniil Tarasov picks up his first victory in net as a Florida Panther. Seth Jones and Evan Rodriguez each score their 100th National Hockey League goals. A big night, a big win for the Panthers, 6-3 over Washington.
Good morning. Welcome in here and happy football Friday.
Panthers winner last night. Always good to get a little Panther hockey to start the show.
Always good to hear a little winning here before we get rolling here on football Friday. So welcome aboard here. We've got
Lots going on here. We'll have the usual cast of characters. Joel by at 8 o'clock this morning.
We'll have Mike Florio. We will have Don Bailey Jr. So all of our cast of characters will be with us here.
On this football Friday that kicked off last night with the Jets and Patriots. Dan Day just looked at me and he said that went about exactly how we thought it was going to go last night. And it did, Dan. It certainly did. The Patriots get that get the win. And I believe they missed covering the spread by 1 point, if I'm not mistaken.
Might have been the hook. I think it was 13.5.
I think it was.
But Danny, yes. You're telling me so Justin Fields is going to be absolutely terrible. Okay, yeah, check. The Jets were going to still come out and put up a good effort at the beginning, check. And then eventually the Patriots would just walk away from them and, you know, win by close to 13. Check. And Trayvon Henderson would run all over the place.
Yep.
Check.
So
you stayed up for that.
Pats have won, 8 straight now? And I got to tell you, that one.
I don't like it.
Good morning, Dono. That one stings, man. I expect the Bills to be good. You know, I just didn't expect the Patriots to jump us so quickly once again. And, you know, if you've been a long-standing Dolphins fan, you know that the Patriots have had their eras of domination. And I hope that we're not back to that. Good morning, Dono. How's it going over there?
Yeah, good morning. I had the same thought about that spread last night with the Patriots-Jets game. Vegas knows what they're doing, right? And in terms of big picture with New England, it just kind of magnifies the Dolphins' curse or the Dolphins' incompetence, however you want to look at it, because you think about all, you know, we're in like year 5 or 6 of the Chris Greer rebuild that got Chris Greer fired, and we can't get out of our own way, and the Patriots already look like they're really good after just a few years. So, unfortunately, you know, being a Dolphin fan has its downsides, but I was happy about the Florida Panthers last night, Brad Marchand getting the 1,000th career point, and the Panthers are climbing again, guys. Like, their Western road trip was 2-2, which was pretty good considering all the guys you have injured and going out to the other side of the country to play some tough games. Yeah, I think when they started that Western road trip, they were, you know, right near the bottom of their division, in the bottom of their division. Now they're in fifth place in the Atlantic. So the Panthers are climbing, and for this team, just do enough to get into the playoffs, get your star players healthy again, and we can do some damage.
All right. So, Dono's with us. Dan Day, Trevor's here today. Jamie's here. I'm Hollywood, and we'll have the sounds for you here on this this Football Friday. But, I gotta tell you, just to see the Patriots get back to, I don't call it dominance just yet, right?
Not yet.
They have to win something of some meaning in the postseason, but it's starting to feel like that franchise is turning the corner once again. And the funny thing is, and I'm listening driving in, and the guy, you know, Pat Boyle, who does our overnight show, he's talking about, you know, the Bills might be cooked here. They, you know, they got the Bucs this weekend, and, you know, Tampa comes in very hobbled to say the least here. And do the Bills, if they lose this game, they have a little bit of a difficult schedule down the stretch. Are the Bills like? And it's funny because the Ravens are in the same boat. It's like the same teams that we always expect to be there, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and the Bills seem like they're in a little bit of trouble. The Ravens, you know, they've been in trouble. But the Bills thing is interesting, too, because the Bills, like, I guess they feel, hey, we got Josh Allen, so we don't have to worry about, like, building a roster. We'll just, you know, we'll go and throw Josh out there, and, you know, we'll surround him with we'll make Khalil Shakir our number one receiver, and you know, we'll just figure it out because Josh can do that. And I just don't know why these teams don't seem to make a better effort to surround these quarterbacks with more elite talent. Like the Ravens clearly have done that. They got Derrick Henry there. They got Zay Flowers there. The Chiefs seemingly have tried to do that, right? I mean, Rashee Rice is a really good receiver. He just missed a lot of the season because he almost killed someone on the highway. But I just don't think the Bills did a good enough job with their roster construction.
No. You look at the offensively, they're really just – they just give the ball to Josh Allen and say, figure it out. And James Cook. James Cook is actually a really good running back. So they just give it to them and say, you know, figure it out. Don't worry about the rest.
You know, and I think in that case, they gotten a little bit spoiled and maybe a little complacent in the fact that Josh Allen covers up so many warts. So I think at a certain point, like you take the rest of your offense for granted a little bit, you know, doing it with Stephon Diggs, but without Stephon Diggs, you don't seem to have any sort of a drop off there. But I'm with you, Hollywood. I mean, you're talking about a team that's been close. Like, they've been on the precipice a few times, so close to getting to a Super Bowl, but it's a franchise that never seems to do that. You would think they would want to have every piece possible to try to get over that hump finally.
Yeah, it's a funny league, though, man. And we do this, right? It's such a week-to-week league. Like, the Bills go from beating the Chiefs, right? Then you go and get blown out by the Dolphins. So it's like, you just don't know, like, week to week in this league. And now, I give the Patriots a lot of credit. They have been very consistent here. They are winning games, and they are, you know, looking pretty good doing it. And, you know, last night's game, you see the Jets go on a long drive to open up the game, and all the way down, Justin Fields runs it in, scores a touchdown. But, you know, the Patriots just didn't blink in that one. They kept putting it on them. And eight straight, man. I don't care who you're playing. Eight straight is very, very impressive in that league. And they have been very consistent. And Drake May, I don't know, he might be the MVP when this is all said and done, right? Because we've gone on different things with the MVP. Remember, it was Baker Mayfield for a little bit there.
Plus.
The Bucs have their entire team seems like they're hurt, so that kind of seems to have gone out the window. Then it was Mahomes all of a sudden again, but then Josh beat him. So then it was Josh, and he lost to the Dolphins, and now it's Drake May.
It wasn't two. Yeah. It should have been two after losing to the Dolphins.
I got to tell you, though, I am old enough to remember when Tua was an MVP candidate. I do remember that.
2 years ago, I think a lot of us are old enough to remember that. Do you remember there was a stretch, 2023, and that was when the Dolphins offense, that was the year they scored 70 against Denver. It was every game was a track meet. There was like a 3-week stretch where we couldn't decide if the MVP front runner should have been Tua or it should have been Tyreek Hill, who was on pace for 2,000 yards. Didn't get there, but he was on pace for that for a while. You know, how far we've fallen. And the Dolphins offense is still capable of putting up points. They just don't do it consistently. You never know when it's going to happen.
That's right. This game coming up here this weekend for the Dolphins, I just don't even know what to think anymore. Like, the problem is, and if you want to bet this team, it's so tricky because I just don't know which Dolphins team we're going to get. You know, Joe tells us when he comes on how, you know, the team's in such great spirits and everyone's playing well and everyone's fired up. And, you know, I don't know, man. That's what they've been saying all season long, right? You know, they talk all week about how, you know, we got to look in the mirror and we got to do this, we got to do that. And then they get blown out by the Browns. And, you know, they say the same stuff again. And then they go and they put it on the Falcons. And they go the next week and get blown out by the Ravens. They say the same stuff again. And then, you know, and Chris gets fired, by the way, in the middle of all of this. And, you know, some scouts get fired in the middle of all of this. But then, you know, they come back and they just beat the hell out of the Bills. So I just don't know which Dolphins team is going to show up. Is Tua going to throw four picks? Is he going to throw four touchdowns? You know, is the defense going to struggle all of a sudden again? They are such an impossible team to read. Like, I don't know what's going to travel over there to Spain.
Yeah.
You have a good feel on this thing?
You know, I would like to think that it seems as though in the last two wins against Buffalo, against Atlanta, like they're finding an identity. Like they're finding the right buttons to push with Devon Achane. Jaylen Waddle is playing at the highest level he's played in years. The defense seems to have figured something out because they were a massive liability first month of the season. They seem to be on a roll here. But the problem is, like, between those two great wins, you had the Thursday night Baltimore game. And I know that one of the things that came out of that was, well, since you had a short week, it kind of took the mojo we established in the Falcons game. you know, again, it's very tricky with the Dolphins because this is not a good opponent. Like the Washington Commanders are not, you know, not a team that should give you a whole lot of trouble. But you could have said the same thing about Cleveland a month ago. That was a team that you had no business losing to. You really shouldn't have lost to Carolina, especially the way you started that game. It's like, I do feel like the Dolphins are finding kind of a midseason identity, but in terms of actually betting on this team at a 9:30 international game, I'll probably pass and just kick my feet up and watch it, but I will go as far as to say that even if I'm not willing to put my mortgage on it, I do feel pretty good that the Dolphins are going to win this weekend.
It's starting to feel, again, like this thing is coming together for the Dolphins, and everyone, I think, who listens to the show knows where I stand on what should be done in the off season and all that. But the reality is this, you know, guys, they got the Commanders, Saints, and Jets coming up here. Yeah. And I have to imagine they will be favored in all three of those games. They are favored this weekend, right, by 2.5 points. I think the
Only 2.5? Man, if for some reason I thought it was, wow, okay. Huh.
Yeah, it's That's what I'm seeing, at least here, Dono. I don't know if
you I believe you
lines where you're at, but that's
you would figure we're probably going to have more fans there. Like I feel like we'd have good mojo in Spain. Like we're going to have more fans there in Madrid, and then our local fans will travel well. The locals over there are going to be supporting the Dolphins. I feel like that's going to be Hard Rock Stadium East.
Yeah, right. ESPN's got it at 2.5 here, but so you got, you know, the three games coming up that you will be favored in, that would get you to 6 wins if you're able to win the next three. So, it's starting to break in their favor here.
Yeah.
Now it's starting again to feel like if they, you know, are able to finish this season on a high note, that we could get what a lot of people do not want, and that is a patch job here. And that is, you know, an owner that says, well, you know, we had some rough breaks in the beginning of the season. I like the direction that we're heading here. This felt good to finish the year. Let's patch this thing up the best that we can and run it back. And Mike, you know, you'd work your magic with Tua, and let's go again and give us another shot. Starting to feel a little bit like that, isn't it?
Well, because you know that's what Stephen Ross would love to do. He's loyal to a fault, right? And you know, he finally, after, you know, he didn't work with Greer the entire 25 years, but for like the 17 years that he was here, that Greer was also here, he finally decided that change had to be made. But just based on the patterns with Stephen Ross, I feel like I can't speak for the man, but I feel like he would much prefer to keep this rolling with the same head coach. And heck, he might even keep rolling with Champ Kelly at GM. He might just take that interim tag off and let Champ continue the work that he's already doing. And I don't think it would surprise anyone in the least if he goes that way, because I don't think Stephen Ross, you know, and maybe he shouldn't cave to public pressure, but maybe in some cases you should, because a lot of people from the outside are saying, like, you, Hollywood, me, Dan Day, you should blow this up and really start over. I don't know if Stephen Ross, you know, checks his social media, if he hears what these people are saying. So I think he's going to do it the way he wants to do it, and he's going to be tempted to keep a lot of the same people in place.
At Finn's owner on Twitter, you think he goes, Tua doesn't even check his social media. I doubt Mr. Ross is out there checking his social media. But I like my theory on Mr. Ross has been the same. I don't think he wants to go through another rebuild. I think the guy is clearly he's not a what's the thing, not a spring chicken.
Although I did read something, you know, I don't know what's clickbait and what's not anymore, but supposedly the Chinese are working on some miracle drug that's going to keep people alive to about 150. Okay. So and you would figure someone with Stephen Ross's wealth probably already has his hands on that, right? So if the Chinese have made a drug that'll keep you alive, like double your lifespan, he's probably already taking it.
I'm not sure I would want that though. Like that, you know what I mean? Like I'm not so sure that would be a great thing, Dono, because I feel like, so I'm about to hit 40 here and my body's breaking down. So
I rolled my ankle playing. I was playing touch football in the backyard with my kid, and I rolled my ankle yesterday, like 5 minutes into it. It's bad.
No. What are we talking, high ankle sprain?
It's low ankle, thankfully. Okay. High ankle, I'd still be I iced it for like 30 minutes, and it's feeling okay today. But, yeah, I was out. I did not return from that injury yesterday.
You're not grade one like Jalen Brunson for the New York Knicks.
Yeah. No, not that bad.
Well, you can always get the Patrick Mahomes high ankle sprain where he just needs like 2 days to rest and he's good to, yeah. to go back at it. By the way, cap for life. Yes, I thought they should have paid the quarterback when they did. I didn't want to go into the season with a disgruntled quarterback. It obviously has not gone well. I don't think at a certain point, I don't think you had much of a choice, right? You decide you're going to ride with this guy. You got to probably got to pay him at some point, right? And now the Dolphins, yes, are going to have to eat some of that. And that is their problem, not ours, Dono. They will have to figure that out. All right, we're going to take a pause here. I want to jump into this Canes game with you, Dono. You're going to hang with us here for the first hour this morning. So I want to do that with Dono when we come back. And you know, we're going to have Larry Bluestein with us, Don Bailey Jr. Joe is going to stop by, Florio. So we'll have the whole cast of characters here on this Football Friday on WQ.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I am.
All right, before we talk football, I remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this season is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Josh Pell's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Josh Pell's a broadcaster nationally for the NFL on Sports USA. He will be on the call this weekend for Oronde Gadsden II and the Chargers, who play the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hope he plays.
Yeah, I don't know if OG's going to be playing or not. He's day-to-day. He's got the thigh bruise, but kind of exciting to be on the call for that, for Josh Appel. Where is that? Is that in Jacksonville or is that in L.A.?
It's in Jacksonville. All right. I haven't been to LA in a few years for a game at that stadium. I wish I was going, but no, it's up in Jacksonville. It's
supposed to be a great stadium, right?
Stadium, the nicest thing I've been in.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Dolphins here. Could you believe, because what I asked, who was who we have on yesterday?
Kirk.
Yeah, Chris Perkins. And I was like, can you believe
what you
witnessed? Can you believe what you saw from the Dolphins against the Bills on Sunday? Did you think, not that they weren't capable of that in a game, but did you think coming off the Baltimore game, the Greer firing, did you think that was possible against Buffalo?
I thought beating Buffalo was possible because they have come pretty close to beating the Bills the last couple of years. We just saw it. It was almost the same situation where the Dolphins were coming off of that horrible loss in week one of the Colts. They blew the game at the end to the Patriots. They were the Von Achan foot out of bounds away from winning that game. And then we're thinking, all right, well, that's blowout, demoralizing loss. Now you're going on the road to Buffalo where you never win. This is going to go terribly. And the Dolphins executed a really good game plan and made two crucial mistakes in that game and lost. And that was on the road in primetime. So now you come home in November, obviously hottest month of the year in South Florida. So the Bills are obviously going to be affected by that. I think Greg Rousseau is going to make another OSHA complaint after Sunday's game. Quotes are ridiculous. But the Dolphins honestly did something very similar in Sunday's game that they did in Buffalo. They had a good game plan, but the difference, aside from the timeout and the false start before the game even started, they didn't make any mistakes that came at crucial times and at crucial situations. The two picks that Tua threw, third down, I know we can debate about the validity of an arm punt, but they were arm punts, and one of them, there was a penalty on the return, so they started inside the 15. The other one was early enough in the game. They played really well. I was surprised that they were able to hold James Cook in check the way they were able to. And the same with Josh Allen just kind of looks off. The Bills are going through something right now where there's a disconnect between the skill guys and Josh Allen, and it feels like Josh is trying to overcompensate for it more than he normally does. And the Dolphins were able to create some turnovers, force some mistakes. And yeah, I'm shocked that they won the game by three scores. I'm not shocked that they necessarily won, but the manner in which it happened, yeah, that's pretty shocking.
And Josh, what's your take on this arm punt thing? Vince Lombardi, Jimmy Johnson, you can name all, Andy Reid, nobody arm punt. I think it's dumb. I really do believe it's dumb. There's less tacklers on the field. If a good returner gets the ball, he can run it back. I don't get the arm punt where, oh, okay, well, it was going to be down there anyway. Let him have a chance to catch it. I don't agree with that.
If it's third and like 15 or third and 22 because you've gotten a penalty or two on the drive and you heave something up deep and it gets picked off, I'm okay with an arm punt in that spot. On third and 10, get 12 yards. You have a million plays that you can attack the middle of the field and get a first down. And if you don't get it, okay, then you punt. But give yourself a chance instead of just chucking it up in the double coverage.
Or so maybe once in a blue moon, like not as part of your game plan. Anytime there's going to be third and 10.
Let it fly.
Just let it fly. Because I like a 50-50 ball. I like when you throw deep and you could get a PI. Like there's things that can happen on the positive. But that does seem a little weird. Every time third and 10, you're just going to arm punt it. Seems, I don't know, a little bit suspect.
It was bizarre, like, yeah.
Run a draw. And I'm not a fan of running a draw. But I'm not a fan of running a draw. But maybe lull them into the sense of complacency with the arm punt a couple times, then run a draw.
I would much rather see the swing pass with no blockers on the edge to Devon Achan.
The reverse pass? The pass behind the line of scrimmage?
Yep.
Yeah. Josh Appel is with us. Does Sunday's game lead you to any broad conclusions about anything? Or do you just say, hey, the team's not as bad as they've looked most of the season. It's some weird season that's been like a perfect storm of cataclysmic events. Or do you take it even further and go, you know what? They're better than people think. What do you make any broad conclusions from Sunday?
No, because we saw them put together a great performance against Atlanta and then follow it up with an absolute dud. You've got to see this over the next three games. I think it was Crowder yesterday who said, well, you know, you've got the Commanders, the Saints, and the Jets all coming up next. And that should, you look at that and you go, that's three more wins, get to 6-7. Well, the Dolphins also lost to Cleveland this year. Like, sure. you can't, the way the Dolphins have played this year, and they've looked fantastic at times and looked like the worst team in the league at times, it's hard to know what you're going to get on a weekly basis, especially from the quarterback position. So I think to say that those are a shoe-in three wins coming up, or to make any grand conclusions, you can't really do until you see them replicate this performance a little more consistently. I'm not saying they got to blow everybody out by three scores every week and win, but, you know, string together multiple wins in a row, and the schedule's setting up for it that way. But I mean, I don't know that you can trust them.
Is it anything, or is it just, hey, enjoy a fun win over Buffalo where everything went right for Miami, everything went wrong for Buffalo. Just enjoy it, Dolphins fans. Don't worry what it means.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely enjoy it. It's a good win, a team that the Dolphins never beat. But I also don't think that you can really extrapolate much from it big picture, because I still think they have the same general issues that they've always had all season long and all offseason long. Although maybe Juju Brents, is that a player?
Wow, Chris Greer signing.
But Josh, to that point where I don't know what Chris Greer could have done. Maybe he was holding Juju or hiding Juju Brents on the practice squad. I don't know what he did to make them be able to look different against the Bills. But is it good for them? Let's say they do have three. I don't want to say cupcakes, because the Dolphins, they would be considered right. A cupcake too. It's a cupcake bowl going on for the next 3 weeks. But for them to beat those three teams, let's say now we're sitting at 6-7. Then they go ahead and, you know, 2-8, 9, something like that. Is that good for them with this terrible start for them to end strong? Now you're going to have people jumping back. Solana's already getting back on the McBandwagon, whatever he calls it. I just think we'll be right back in the place we have been for years and years and years with these coaches. Do we like him? Do we not like him?
I think that it depends on your perspective, whether or not that's good. If you're Mike McDaniel, that's great, because that means you've kept the buy-in of the team and you're likely keeping your job going into next season. If you are a general fan of this franchise and you want this era to be over, then going on a winning streak here and being in the hunt graphic for the final few weeks, maybe not so great. But at the same time, like, I'm intrigued by, like, Fernando Mendoza. I'm intrigued by Dante Moore. I think Ty Simpson has done a lot of things to get into this conversation for the top quarterback in the draft. I don't know that this is the year to be the worst team in the league to need a quarterback. Those guys might be good, but by all accounts, this is a quote-unquote weaker quarterback class. For the long-term health of the franchise, probably better off if they, you know, don't win a lot towards the end, but you never want to poo-poo winning. Winning is always
fun. Sunday was fun. Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. So, I mean, we understand the benefits of a higher draft pick, and you also understand the fun that comes with winning. Like, I'm not going to hate on winning.
I just don't want to go back in with another – I don't go into 2026 and we come out again at 1-3 and we're all sitting here. We saw this last year.
Right.
But they won 5 at the end. I don't want to be in that
situation.
There's
a very good chance that happens.
But, you know, it's funny because this would be the third time in Tua's career that it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it with Flores, did it with McDaniel, and now they're
I feel like he's just about to get over the hump. I think next season is actually that season.
If he can just stay healthy.
I'd bring Greer back, but that's me. I saw enough from Juju Brents that made me think this guy can identify talent.
Hey, and how about Riley Patterson? You know, he misses the extra point, maybe one of the worst extra points I've ever seen attempted in an NFL game, but he bounced right back with that 48-yarder later in the game. I mean, even Riley Patterson.
Got to give him some respect.
Chris Greer.
Can't kick over 50 yards. They can't even try, but you got to give him some respect, I guess. What do you expect Sunday in Spain? Because they seemed revitalized, and Washington is banged up beyond belief. But the Dolphins don't have a great track record when it comes to these international games either.
Okay, so I just had the Commanders over the weekend against the Lions. Not only is Marshon Lattimore done for the season with a torn ACL, he didn't play, but their other rookie corner, who's drafted in the second round, he has a fractured tibia, I believe. It's either a tibia or a fibula. So I doubt he's going to play on Sunday. So they've got Jonathan Jones, who also had his groin act up in the middle of that game. I can't remember if he came back or not, but he left for a moment, then walked back to the sideline. But it was such a blowout, I don't know that they put him back in. Then you've got Noah Igbinoghene and another guy off their practice squad playing a corner. If the Dolphins' offense can't have success against a team like that, who's also going to be without Daron Payne,
maybe because Dolphins he punched Amon-Ra St.
Brown.
Dolphins team total over, maybe?
And he got suspended. This is a Washington team that has lost four consecutive games, three consecutive games, by 20 or more points. They are getting blown out every single week. There's no Terry McLaurin. There's no Austin Eckler. There's no Jaden Daniels. Bill Kroski Merritt and Chris Rodriguez are the two running backs there. Like, it is as depleted of a roster right now, especially on defense, that you'll find in the NFL. And if the Dolphins can't take advantage of that, well, we'll be having a similar conversation to a lot of the other segments we've done this year.
Dolphins team total is 25 and a half.
I would take it.
Josh's point. Hell, they're playing with kids off the street.
Although, did you see what Jahmyr Gibbs did to their defense last week?
Did you see what
the Dolphins are going to try and use Achane that way?
Did you see what, because I'm worried about Noah Igbinoghene, because did you see what Jalen Phillips did last night to Green Bay Packers?
I'm not supposed to be mad at that, right?
Nah, but man, it's so perfect. Like, you can't be mad at it, but it is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Appel, the McRib is back. This is a soft... It's a soft rollout of the McRib. Sometimes it comes back with a lot of fanfare. This time it's just kind of appearing at select McDonald's locations. You had your first McRib with me, right? Mm-hmm. Last year when it came out.
Yes.
And you have not changed your mind on this? Because you only had like one or two bites, right?
Yeah, I could not stomach anymore. I went and ordered two McChickens after that because I couldn't stand the taste of the McRib.
What was it that you didn't like? Because I'm trying to... Why are you laughing?
The sandwich. Obviously, he didn't like the damn sandwich.
Let me think about it. Everything.
Well, you don't like barbecue sauce?
I will use barbecue sauce. Like a pulled pork sandwich, a barbecue chicken sandwich.
Sure.
Like, I know what that meat looks like before they put it on one of those press machines to heat it up. I can't imagine.
It looks like any flank steak.
What flank steak do you eat?
It looks like a flank steak.
That patty looks like a flank steak?
Yeah, like a nice thin little flank steak.
You could build another McDonald's with the frozen McRibs because they look like bricks.
What are you talking about, man? That's how the burgers look too when they're frozen. That's crazy, and that roll is so tasty. Yeah. So you're not in for a McRib outing?
I'll join you, but I won't eat a McRib.
Well, no, if we do a McRib outing, this is what happened with the Hochman burger at Tucker Duke's. You're like,
I ate the Hochman burger.
You're like, I'm going to show up, but I'm going to get it plain, which is what Jimmy did, by the way. Well,
I can hear anything on it.
We know what you did, though. You took all the chili, and somehow it ended up on the plate, and you said that you ate it all, but there was a big mound of chili and cheese and sour cream on your plate.
The only thing on that burger I didn't get was the sour cream. That thing was packed with chili. The idea that you don't think chili would fall out of that burger after every bite is insane.
Well, we all had them, though. I saw how it fell on everybody else's plate. You ended up with more chili than what started on the burger. I don't know how that happened.
He was mushing it.
But I can't invite him to my McRib night if he's not going to have one, right? Like, it just doesn't seem right.
I don't know, Hawk. I might lean more Aperol Spritz myself.
How about an Aperol Spritz and a McRib?
That sounds like the single worst combination in the history of meals.
I don't even know
you. If you had to pick one, Noah, are you going Aperol?
I don't even know you people.
I'd probably go Aperol, but I would say this, Hawk. The incentive for me to get an invite to the McRib outing is whether it's you, whether it's Dr. Chuck, after my one bite, you basically get another full McRib to enjoy.
Oh, that is a good point. He handed me his McRib. He's like, I'm not going to eat this. And you know, who would I would never let a McRib go to waste.
I'm not eating after a pill.
That's actually a good point. That's actually a good point. I get an extra McRib if I invite a pal. But I think I end up paying for everything. So I think I'm actually buying a McRib with a bite in it. I think it's a terrible transaction for me.
You're not above that.
And Pell, Hawk hasn't figured out.
I'm not above anything.
He pays for everything anytime we go anywhere.
It's crazy. We got to stop having events.
I snuck out on you the other night.
Oh, I know. That was not sneaky.
Wait, Crowder, you don't even do the thing where you take out the wallet and you like pat it and then you make Hawk give you the little brush off it. No, I got it. You got to do the act.
Listen, first four or five times I did it, and then now it's just like, oh, big man over there got it. Yeah, blue shirt.
Josh is always like, yeah, I got you, and he hands me four singles. I got you.
I'll handle the tip. Here's $2.
All right.
I do tip the people, though. I'll shoot them a little 20.
Josh Appel, he will be on the call for Sports USA Sunday in Jacksonville. Hopefully, Aronde Gadsden in the second will be playing. Thank you, Josh.
Appreciate you guys.
We give you 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. That's brought to you by the Lexus TX. Room for all your passions and three rows of luxurious comfort. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. This is from Dolphins Wire at USA Today. Three overreactions to the Dolphins beating the Bills yesterday. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I kind of what I asked Perk at the end here. Overreaction number one, the Mike McDaniel era has life. Just when you think Dolphins owner Stephen Ross has no choice but to move on from Mike McDaniel, Miami turns around and plays like it did from Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday. That wasn't a team that quit on the 2025 campaign or its head coach. Maybe this McDaniel era has life left in it. That certainly appears to be what Ross is hoping for. Of course, the Dolphins did make the big move, firing Chris Greer. That signaled Ross knew some form or fashion of change needed to take place. But after ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that McDaniel is safe through the end of the season, more days like Sunday might convince Ross that he has the right man as the Dolphins head coach for the future.
I hope not.
You believe that's an overreaction. You don't think that's based in reality.
I believe it's an overreaction. And honestly, not even hating, I hope it's an overreaction if that's true. I watched Indy. I watched the Ravens game. I've watched a lot of slow starts. I've watched them unprepared out of camp year in, year out. I've watched them get their ass kicked by lesser teams. Don't let one game swing you all the way. We should be happy that we're 3-7.
Forget about one game, though. Forget about one game. Do you think the McDaniel era has life in it?
No. I think he's a bookmark waiting for somebody else to start reading again.
Solana?
I'm not going to waver, even though I'm low-key back on the McBandwagon. I'm a McStan again, based on him trolling Bills fans, if that ends up being true. Man, there's some swag there with what McDaniel did. However, I still want a total reset, and I'm not going to waver from that.
You do not believe
position.
The McDaniel era has life.
I do not, but I think Stephen Ross does.
At 2-7, no life. At 3-7, life?
Bingo. Here's overreaction two. Dolphins made the right decision with the Jalen Phillips trade. Miami's been one of the NFL's worst defenses in 2025. Dolphins entered Sunday number 24 in total defense, number 25 in scoring defense, number 29 in rushing defense. Miami hoped that Jalen Phillips would be one of its key defensive figures moving forward. But with the way this season started, the Dolphins' hand was forced. It needed to recoup some value. The organization's decision to deal Phillips away to Philadelphia for a 2026 third-round draft pick looks pretty smart after the Dolphins turned in one of their best defensive days in 2025. Miami held Buffalo to just 87 yards rushing, forced three Bills turnovers, and held the NFL's number three scoring defense to just 13 points.
Not with the numbers from yesterday, but I think moving Phillips was good. Habitually hurt. High pay guy, move him and get something back.
I don't think you can argue with it, but Bradley Chubb didn't get moved, and that was another name that you thought was going to get moved. And sure, for the time being, it looks like it worked because the Dolphins
it
were
worked.
Finally able
the
to get to Josh
week,
Allen.
The first week it worked.
Yeah.
Sealer got a sack, didn't he?
He did. Finally got a sack.
And finally, this is the last possible overreaction. Less of Tua Tagovailoa late in games is more. The Dolphins stumbled upon the winning formula late. Sure, Tua tossed a pair of touchdown passes to Malik Washington and Jalen Waddle to build the Dolphins' early 13-0 lead. But it was third-year running back Devon Achane that slammed the door shut on Buffalo. Achane got loose for 59 and 35-yard rushing touchdowns in the fourth quarter to put the win on ice. Miami needs to stick with this recipe moving forward. More of Achane, less of Tua in key moments. Obviously, it helps to play from in front, which the Dolphins were able to get accomplished on Sunday.
Hey, up by 20, give the ball to Devon 18 times in a row. Down by 14, Tua has to put it in his hand. But to your point, Hawk, I want them to run the ball. It's the only way they can win. But if you're running the ball down by 10 when the start of the fourth quarter, you're giving the ball to Achane 6 times in a row, it's going to look crazy. And it's probably not going to work because the team has to load up on you because they know what Tua is going to do if you put him in there. It's a great win yesterday. I just it doesn't look like it's the future is bright for
but
this
that,
formula.
That's got to be your formula, Solana, which is keep the ball out of Tua's hands or keep the game out of his hands late. Let someone else win it.
Don't let your quarterback touch the ball in the fourth quarter.
Well,
that's a game
been
plan.
Solana's biggest problem with Tua.
What did Perk just say? They finally played the style of football we expected from them coming into the season. And this, to me, is the formula with Tua, which is I don't think you can win because of Tua all the time against elite teams, but your defense forces turnovers, you win the turnover battle, and they stop Josh Allen, and you run that effing football so well that Tua just has to make a couple good throws, throw a couple touchdown passes, and that's how you win. He can't be the best player on your team for
how
you to
be
elite.
How much does make, by the way?
Not a lot.
Like, he should
He's
be...
He's still on his rookie deal, I
is
believe.
Is he? Yeah. He should be a gigantic contract guy.
He's about, what, Saquon money?
I mean,
if you look, he has better numbers than Saquon. I only got to look.
I know he means more to the Dolphins team than any other player on this team.
Oh, by far.
By
he's the best
far.
Player on this team.
Yeah, he's still on his rookie deal. So this year he's making $1.2 million.
Wow.
And he's under contract next year. The following year will be a unrestricted free agent. But that was the argument
of moving
to trading him. Again, not because he's not elite. He's going to be a top five running back for the next 5-6 years.
Are you
going
to be able to pay him?
While you're in a rebuild, are you willing to commit the amount of money that he's going to get from any other team? And you know he's going to hold out next season. Yeah, get ready for that. He's going to hold out next season before training camp.
Should hold out this season.
Hold out now. Need him more than ever. What you just said about Tua, I'm not okay with that. Tua can't have the game in his hands late.
It's not that he can't have the game in his hands late. It's just if it's coming down to Tua manufacturing a game-winning drive, you're going to come out on the losing end of that more often than you're going to come out on the winning end. So the formula is to let someone else, i.e. Devon Achane, do that.
And the teams that are good do not have that problem with
totally quarterbacks. Different argument. Totally. No. It's just, is this the formula for a Tua-led Dolphins team?
Yes.
I'm saying if it is, we should trade him now.
Again, different argument. I'm just saying what USA Today is saying, which is that the formula for this constructed Dolphins team?
It's 100%. What the Colts are doing, right? Daniel Jones isn't winning them games late. Like he'll do it once. But he's not the reason why they're winning games late in the game. Their defense has been outstanding. They bolstered it by trading and bringing in Sauce Gardner. But they have an elite running back who's a workhorse, who's putting them ahead early in games. And Daniel Jones just has to make good throws. He's got to get his tight end involved. And he can't make mistakes. That's what he's doing.
How about Daniel Jones yesterday having a 13-yard run on 3rd and 14?
How about that?
Jumping up with the bloody mouth and then throwing a 2-yard out on 4th and 1
swaggy,
to Tyler Warren to keep the drive going, to go down, to tie the game, and then win the game.
Our guy can't do that.
13-yard run?
Yeah, our guy can't
He
do
hadn't
that.
Had a 13-yard run in his life.
All right, let's get headlines here. We have a lot to talk about this afternoon. Headlines brought to you by our friends at Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
What was your favorite scene yesterday, whether it was during the game or after the game, in regards to like celebrating? So I'll give you a couple here. During the game, I think it was after Josh Allen's interception, but it could have been after the fumble too, where Jordan Brooks punches it out. and you have Mike McDaniel, Anthony Weaver on the sideline doing a chest bumping.
Yeah.
I thought Weaver was going to kill Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, that was great.
Mike!
That was great. They were having fun yesterday.
Yeah. When they went to running together, I was yelling like Ricky on Boys in the Hood. No, Mike! He was going to eject.
The Finn's locker room celebration was lit, too.
That was crazy fun.
Yeah, rolling around in the blue buckets.
I loved it, just because these guys have every reason in the world to be sullen and sad, and they're just not. And it makes you believe that, hey, they've got something. They know they do. I mean, I don't know why this season has been cataclysmically bad, because it shouldn't have been, based on the roster and based on their opponents. Like, so I don't know why. Sometimes the perfect storm just happens.
Hawk.
I do believe that. I think there are certain teams where you look at them and you go, that's a really bad team. New Orleans, I don't know how New Orleans with Tyler Shuck won against your beloved Panthers yesterday. But, I mean, you look at New Orleans, you go, that's a really bad team. Like, that team's bad.
Yeah.
You look at the Jets. I don't know how the Jets won yesterday. And you go, that's a bad team there. I just don't believe that about the Dolphins. Never have.
They weren't prepared to play a football season early.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean,
and it's the coaching staff,
I guess.
Also, the Bills, kind of fraud alert, no?
Well, there's been a couple times this season where you're like, I don't know if they're as good as we thought they were.
But they just whooped the Chiefs eight days ago.
But they do that all the time. They're Josh Allen's 5-1 against Mahomes in the regular season.
Yeah, but he was like 12-1 against the Dolphins in the regular
14
season.
14-1 in their last 15 coming into that
Josh
game.
Allen was.
They said that stat yesterday. The Dolphins against the Bills. The Bills were 14-1 in the last 15. The only victory was 2022 when they beat them. And then that was the week where the Dolphins go 3-0. In the next game, they go to Cincy and Tua has his first concussion hit, which derails everything. That was the last time the Dolphins beat the Bills, and they had lost 14 of the previous 15 against Buffalo.
Damn.
They were due. We should have seen it. They were due. Yeah, I don't know if the Bills are legit. I think their defense is kind of stinky. And if they can't run the football, then Josh Allen looks like Tua
late. This season, out of like what they allowed Rico Dowdle to do, but then they stopped James Cook and they stopped Bijan Robinson. Like, when I call them schizophrenic,
oh, I mean, 100%.
Nothing adds up.
Yeah, Rico Dowdle, and who's the Browns
who's
running
the
back?
Other
the little
dude
rookie that went.
Quinshaw Judkins.
Judkins.
Yeah, Judkins. 200 yards.
Bijan, I mean, 7 yards. Like, Judkins, 190.
None of that makes any sense.
It's the definition of a mediocre team.
I don't think so.
You call it schizophrenic. That's mediocre.
I think it's the definition of something otherworldly, Stranger Things or something. Something otherworldly. I'm willing to ride or die with this team next season. I feel like this team,
I think
there's more of those games in the future. This is the defense we thought we'd see.
It's a good chance.
I don't think it's too late to bring back Chris Greer.
6-11 is on the table. Like, I believe 6-11 is what we're about to end up in. 3-4 over the next couple games. 3-4, 6-11. We're running it back. I'm going to dive across the table.
If I told you after that Indianapolis game to start the season that they were going to finish with 6 wins, you'd go, sign me up.
You know what? I would have, but I also don't want to run it back.
All right, anything in the headlines? Was that it?
McDaniel trolling Bills fans was, again, he said, we'll play the audio later on, but he basically said, you know, AI exists, but I do live in that area. It's well documented. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, but I want to believe so much that it's true, because that is no joke. That's the best thing of the Mike McDaniel era. That right there. That becomes the best thing that's happened in the Mike McDaniel
era. Pretty badass.
It would be.
Like, to do it subtly, not make a big thing out of it. Like, was he there? Wasn't he there? Like, really badass.
hey, I'm going to go two blocks out of my way just to drive by the elbow room.
That's what the elevator picture should have been, by the way. It was a cool pick. A-chan with the deuces up, Waddle behind him. But it should have been Mike McDaniel in the car with the Bills fans right in front of him. One note here, the Dolphins will head to España. They're going to play the Commanders, or what's left of the Commanders. And Dan Quinn, I'm seeing right here, has already ruled out Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, for the Commanders. We know they're without Jaden Daniels. They're without their top cornerback. They lost one of their best returners as well. That's a shell of a team that last year was in the NFC Championship game.
Seems like an easy dub for this version of the Dolphins.
Yeah. Browns did too.
One of the Dolphins ever let us down overseas.
I'm the doctor at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest that keeps getting fooled by the schizophrenic patient. He's cured. All of a sudden I'm being held against the wall.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.